Joshua Coors is a journalist. He has written on this topic extensively and has been the source of much of the facts and stories around this, both for the nation and for ABC News. So we thank you, Mr. Coors, for what you have done, and we look forward to your testimony.
Good morning. I've been reporting on the personality disorder discharge in the last 10 months.
Please speak right close to the microphone. So.
Pardon me. I've been reporting on the personality disorder discharge for the last 10 months, and I'm here today to talk about the 22,500 soldiers discharged in the last 6 years with that condition. A personality disorder discharge is a contradiction in terms. Recruits who have a severe pre-existing condition, like a personality disorder, do not pass the rigorous screening process and are not accepted into the Army. The soldiers I interviewed this past year passed that first screening and were accepted into the Army. They were deemed physically and psychologically fit in a second screening as well before being deployed to Iraq and served honorably there in combat. In each case, it was only when they came back physically and psychologically wounded and sought benefits that this pre-existing personality disorder discharge was discovered. Discharging soldiers with a personality disorder prevents them from being evaluated by a medical board and getting immediate medical care. This can be life-threatening for our soldiers. A good example is Chris Mosier, who served honorably in Iraq, where he watched several of his friends burn to death in front of him. After that, he developed schizophrenic-like delusions. He was treated at Fort Carson for a few days, then discharged with a pre-existing personality disorder. He returned home to Des Moines, where he left a note for his family saying the Iraqis were after him there in Iowa, then shot himself. Surgeon General Gail Pollack agreed to review a stack of personality disorder cases. After 5 months, she produced a memo saying her office had, quote, thoughtfully and thoroughly reviewed the cases, including John Towns, and determined all of them to be properly diagnosed. With further reporting, I discovered that as part of that thoughtful and thorough five-month review, Pollack's office did not interview anybody, not even the soldiers whose cases she was reviewing. Some of those soldiers said they called the Surgeon General's office offering information about their ailments. Their efforts were rebuffed. The one thing the Surgeon General's office did do was contact a doctor at Fort Carson, where many of the personality disorder diagnoses were made, and ask him whether his doctors got it right the first time. The doctor said yes, his staff's original diagnosis was correct, and Pollack shut down the review at that point. The Surgeon General's office denied that for many months, insisting that the review was conducted by a panel of health experts who were not involved in the original diagnoses. This wasn't a case of one man reviewing his own work, they said. But eventually it did come out that the only reviewer was Colonel Stephen Knorr, who, as chief of behavioral health at Fort Carson, oversaw many of the personality disorder diagnoses, and in his capacity as a psychiatrist, was reportedly involved in creating many of them as well. When the problems with Walter Reed became public, the Pentagon took two actions. It accepted the resignation of Surgeon General Kevin Kiley, and it hired the public relations firm LMW Strategies with a $100,000 no-bid contract to put a positive spin on those events. This past week, as these personality disorder discharges became public, VA Secretary Nicholson stepped down, And today, Surgeon General Pollack is not here to discuss the issue. As a journalist, it's not my role to make any recommendations, but I do want to share with you the hopes of the wounded veterans I spoke to this year, which is a hope that someone be held responsible and that officials go back through the 22,500 cases and seek out the thousands of John Towns who are waiting there, struggling right now without benefits or the media spotlight.
Thank you, Mr. Kors. In concluding this panel will be Paul Sullivan, representing Veterans for Common Sense. And we thank you again for your efforts at making these kinds of situations public for the American people to understand.